Good morning, my friends. Good morning and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan, and very excited that you're here with us. It is Friday, May 25th, 2007, 2 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. And our phone number, as you know, 800-313-9443. Our special guest, finishing up with us, Lee Kroc. Welcome back.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here, man. Thanks for sticking around. Now, you were just telling a story about a gal with cancer, I believe it was, right?
Yeah, she was in Los Angeles, California, and they flew me and my wife out there. She was in a Mormon hospital, so they'd let us in. This person took us in there, and we were doing it by hand with the machine. They didn't know. I had two screens, and we put prayer pads, name words on it. Walked in with that, and the machine, we had healing oils on that pellet. And we put one under her shoulders and one on top of us, on her, and the three of us worked on her hands for 2 hours, and she was off of oxygen. We stayed another hour. She got up and got out of bed, and they said she'd be dead by Saturday, and this was on Monday. Next day, we went back, stayed 2 hours with her, and she followed us out to the nurse's station. The third day, we got there the third day, we just walked in, they said, everything's ready for you, nobody bothered you, them nurses, everybody, they just cleared it out. Third day, she went to the car.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, she signed herself out and went home, went to where living by herself. The undertaker didn't get her. I had another play of time down in Atlanta, Georgia. These people called me. Their mother was in the hospital with the kidneys completely shut down. They said she would be dead in 24 hours. So I taught them over the phone how to do it by hand, talked them through it with a cellular phone. There was three children, there were six of them in the room with her there. They worked on her till morning with just their hands, no machine. Come morning, her kidneys was working.
Wow.
So when as long as they're breathing, there's still hope.
Amen to that. Wow, you're doing such great things, Lee. I'm just honored to know you, my friend, and I can't wait till the next time we chat again.
Thank you. I appreciate you too, Frank. Very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Folks, a great, great, great man. I know his name is thanked in many, many, many prayers all around the planet, including my own. Lee Kroc, God bless you, my friend. What can I say? Lee, just fantastic. So the energy cleaner, it's, you know, just like anything else, folks, you know, you have to make your own judgment. Do the research. Listen to the shows. There's plenty of archives at republicbroadcasting.org that have Lee Kroc's, you know, interviews with us and lots of information there at his website, edkuniversity.com. You can always call him and ask some questions. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. I can't say enough about it. And I'll tell you what, if I didn't think it worked, we wouldn't be having these interviews, we wouldn't be having these discussions. But it does work, and it's amazing. That's all I can say. You got to decide for yourselves, though. Oh, Lee, you're still with us?
All I hope is just coming to visit with me.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll have more fun you ever had in your life.
I have no doubt, because I've heard the people while they're there, and I've heard the people coming back from that place, and they are just so excited, Lee. It's like life is beginning all over again for them. Fantastic stuff.
Well, that Bob that had the stroke,
mm-hmm.
he should be, he told me last week, and he said it'd be another week before he got stuff straightened up down in Dallas, Texas. He's coming up and staying with me, and he'll be on the show with me from here on probably.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I can't wait to hear from him.
He's
the one, of course, that had the stroke and was paralyzed on the left side. Wow. Well, Lee, thank you so much, my friend. God bless. Folks, we'll be right back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 3 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio. We covered a lot of subjects tonight. We talked about health, talked about cancer, Alzheimer's, paralysis, talked about slugs, gardening, snails, terrorism. And it comes full circle. We're continuing our talk about terrorism. Now, we mentioned at the beginning of the show in our news segment about the British. The brand new, soon-to-be brand new, Prime Minister, presumably Gordon Brown, who will be taking over for Tony Blair. There's some discussion, some concern that he's going to pull the British troops out of Iraq. And obviously, conveniently enough, coinciding with that same thing, is a story that Al-Qaeda might be planning an attack on par with Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It could happen, I guess, in the British soil. It could happen on American soil. Whatever. Obviously, something like that would either induce Tony Blair to perhaps stay in, or certainly if he still did step down, which I don't know that he would do in the aftermath of something like that. But Gordon Brown certainly wouldn't run from the war on terror, because if he wasn't popular before, he certainly wouldn't be popular now. Now, We've got this one going on. This is from the International Herald Tribune. Came out on May 21st. And it says, an opposition party has called for the withdrawal of German troops from Afghanistan after three soldiers were killed in a suicide attack. However, Chancellor Angela Merkel said that the international community was determined to make the difficult reconstruction process a success and that German soldiers would remain in the country. So Angela Merkel says, no, we're staying. But an opposition party is saying, we want the troops out. NATO and U.S. troops have clashed with Taliban insurgents in the east of the country near the border with Pakistan. According to the Afghan army, more than 60 insurgents were killed on Friday. The U.S. anti-terrorist mission in Afghanistan, Enduring Freedom, however, has been criticized by the Germany Defense Ministry, which said last week that heavy-handed tactics used by the U.S. Army were alienating the local population. Leaders of the opposition Left Party in Germany have called for the withdrawal of the country's troops from Afghanistan. The Left Party has consistently criticized the NATO mission, asserting that the alliance is not equipped to deal with such an ambitious peacekeeping effort. But members of Merkel's coalition of conservatives and social democrats warned the opposition against using the weekend deaths as a justification for blocking the continuation of the German army's mandate in Afghanistan. All German military or peacekeeping missions require the consent of the Bundestag, or lower house of parliament. But, it says, with the Left Party becoming the anti-war party, the Social Democrats are no longer united over continuing the mission in Afghanistan. So Germany is getting some stirrings of discontent there, much like we have here, much like we were talking about in the British Isles, I guess. People are unhappy with the whole situation. So we mentioned about, you know, Al-Qaeda is going to attack Great Britain. Well, here this one from May 11th. You can find this at abcnews.com. U.S. and German officials fear terrorists are in the advanced planning stages of an attack on U.S. military personnel or tourists in Germany. Law enforcement officials tell the blotter on abcnews.com that U.S. air marshals have been diverted to provide expanded protection of flights between Germany and the United States, said a senior U.S. official to ABC News, quote, the information behind the threat is very real, end quote. Dun, dun, dun. German Interior Minister Wolfgang Schäuble told reporters, quote, the danger level is high. We are part of the global threat of Islamic terrorism. So you've got the German politicians coming out saying, yes, Islamist terrorism, we are at threat here. This is a serious thing. This is the real deal. The danger is high. So, very convenient, of course, when you've got a lot of opposition out there to the war, you hear more and more about threats. And we've been hearing about it here in the U.S. They're hearing about it in Germany. They're hearing about it in the U.K. But this story goes on. A particular concern, according to the U.S. and German law enforcement officials, is Patch Barracks, the headquarters for U.S. European Command near Stuttgart. Security at all U.S. military and diplomatic facilities has been increased in the last month following reports that suspected terrorists had conducted surveillance of the Patch Barracks facility. So apparently they saw somebody looking in the direction of the barracks and said, this is obviously a suspected terrorist, so we need to ramp up the awareness, I guess. Now, it says the 9/11 hijackers planned their operation out of Hamburg, Germany, and the country continues to be known as a staging area for Al-Qaeda and groups affiliated with it. Did you know that? Did you know that Germany continues to be known as a staging area for Al-Qaeda and groups affiliated with Al-Qaeda? I did not know that. I didn't know it continues to be known. Who knows this, and why aren't they sharing? It's just spelled out here for you. It's kind of like, it's an interesting thing. Let's say, everybody knew this. I mean, maybe when you were in high school or whatever, and somebody was walking around and they had like a, I don't know, T-shirt that said The Doors on it. And you're like, The Doors, never heard of The Doors. But you assume that, you know, hey, they must be popular. You know, so-and-so is a cool guy. He's wearing the shirt. They must be a good band. Everybody assumes that everybody else knows everything else. So in this situation, comparable to my analogy there, they just tell you, everybody knows that. And you're like, oh, I didn't know that. Most people are not going to stand up and admit they don't know something. It's going to make them stand out. It's going to make them look like an idiot. And it's going to make them, you know, basically sit there in solitary unawareness. So I'll do it, though. I'm doing it right now. This story right here, Al-Qaeda is Germany is known, continues to be a known staging area for Al-Qaeda. Well, if they know it, why aren't they stopping it? And again, suspected terrorists viewed the barracks. They surveilled the barracks. Well, if you knew that they were suspected terrorists, if you knew they've been keeping this barracks under surveillance, why aren't you doing something about it? Seems like a pretty common sense question to me. According to Colonel Andrew Pratt, he said, quote, there are 300 to 500 people who are suspected to be part of Al-Qaeda cells in Germany. What is that? So did they just, here's the thing, they either pulled a random number out of some orifice. There are 300 to 500 people who are suspected to be part of Al-Qaeda. Okay, so either you just cranked up a number and just said, we suspect there are about this many people who are involved with Al-Qaeda, in which case I would say, what's your evidence? But here he's saying 300 to 500 people suspected. What are they doing about it? It's a good question. If you know there's 300 to 500 people, why aren't you talking to them? Why don't you figure out if that suspicion is warranted or not, and then let it go? Pratt said, quote, in a democratic state like Germany, you can't just go around and arbitrarily arrest people because they're under suspicion, end quote. So he's answering my question, right? Yeah, except for the big raids that took place for the G8. They anticipate people are out there going to stage some protests for the G8 summit, which is taking place next month in Germany. And they went and I've got the story around here somewhere. They basically said, hey, there are like 16 suspected terrorists, and they arrested like 900 people. But according to Colonel Andrew Pratt, retired, by the way, he said, in a democratic state like Germany, you can't just go out and arbitrarily arrest people because they're under suspicion, end quote. Well, apparently you can if the circumstances are right. But the point is, you don't have to arrest them just because they're under suspicion. Do some investigative work, right? There's only 300 to 500 people in the whole country of Germany that are suspected of being affiliated with Al-Qaeda. Do some research. Why don't you? Anyway, to material. German officials have called for enhanced police powers to keep suspected terror groups in check. Ah, enhanced police powers, anti-terrorist tools. Several radical Islamist groups have threatened violence unless Germany withdraws its troops from NATO, from the NATO force in Afghanistan. A radical Islamist group in Iraq took a German woman and her adult son hostage in February, threatening to execute them if Germany did not pull its troops out of Afghanistan. The two were still being held. Spokesperson at Patch Barracks said they were not aware of any specific surveillance on the location, and they're not under any more specific surveillance than any other U.S. facility in Germany. Okay. So, you know, this big rationale is thrown out. Oh, yeah, people are surveilling the barracks. And the people at the barracks go, not really. Not that we're aware of. And if there was all these enhanced, anti-terrorism measures being employed, you think that the place that's been under surveillance by the suspected Al-Qaeda people would probably know about it. So my assessment of that, BS, complete and total BS. Well, you know, all these people are wanting to get out of Iraq. And certainly not the president. The president says we can win, right? We can win, we can win, we can win. I came across a story from Reuters, came out earlier today, or technically yesterday, if you want to be specific. It said, U.S. President George W. Bush on Thursday predicted a bloody summer in Iraq for U.S. troops and Iraqi civilians. Okay. We can win. Victory is at hand. We can win the war on terror, but we're going to get our butts kicked this summer. Thanks, Mr. President. You certainly have cheered me right up. Bush said he expects insurgents and al-Qaeda to step up attacks to try to influence the U.S. debate over how long to stay in Iraq. Despite the deployment of tens of thousands of U.S. and Iraqi troops and a major U.S.-led security crackdown, attacks have continued unabated. Now, that's if you believe the stories. Now, what does that mean? What am I saying? Frank, what are you talking about? I think that, you know, these attacks are happening. I think they're, you know, and a lot of people have accused the media of sort of focusing on all the negatives in order to keep listeners or viewers and whatnot. And I think that's true. And you're saying, what are you talking about? You don't think these attacks are happening? Sure they do. I think the media is told to exploit all this stuff and say, I can't believe all these deaths and whatnot. And of course, it's tragic, no doubt. But what's the purpose? To make the Iraq war look like it's a miserable failure. Why? So Bush can send more troops in. Why? So he can have a war with Iran. I just think, you know, again, here's the president telling you it's going to be nasty this summer. Well, what also happens this summer? Well, of course, Tony Blair might be stepping down. Al-Qaeda might attack. It's convenient. That's all I can say. Stay with us. Back in 3 minutes, folks, with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio, and it is fast. Here we go. Continuing with this story from Reuters earlier today, President Bush basically bolstering all of our hopes and saying, yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to get our butts kicked this summer. There's going to be a lot of deaths. And who do you say would be dying? Who would be taking part in this bloody summer in Iraq? U.S. troops and Iraqi civilians. That's who's going to die this summer, so get ready for that. Bush said he expects, quote, heavy fighting in the weeks and months ahead, end quote. He said, quote, what they're going to try to do is kill as many innocent people as they can to try to influence the debate here at home, end quote. So setting us up for the expectation of massive amounts of failure, President Bush has decided to be honest with us and say, hey, basically, we've had this massive troop surge, and all the people we have there doing all this stuff, yeah, it's not going to help. So good luck. Let's keep sending the boys and girls over there, right? Defense Secretary Robert Gates later said he also anticipates more violence this summer from what he called a, quote, smart, agile, thinking enemy, end quote. What? Since when? I'm just astounded by this. I think it was what Ron Paul was talking about, Al-Qaeda, and he's like, who are these guys again? They have no country, no natural resources, no income, no gross domestic product, no citizenry to draft, to tax, to employ, in fueling the machine. They don't have any arms development, anything like that. They're just a scattered bunch of Al-Qaeda cells, presumably. Well, there's 300 to 500 of them in Germany, some in England. Remember, Great Britain said, yes, Al-Qaeda has been in touch with their British operatives lately. Well, yeah, sure, because they're everywhere. They're a smart, agile, thinking enemy, end quote. That's just as defeatist as President Bush saying, yeah, a bunch of our kids are going to die this summer. Get ready for it. The Defense Secretary of the United States of America says Al-Qaeda is smart. They're agile. They're a thinking enemy. Really? Well, hey, thanks for that, right? We can't beat these guys. Why don't you just go ahead and say that? Gates said this, quote, they know what's going on in this country, and I think we should be prepared for them to make it a very strong effort to increase the level of violence in July and August. My hope is that anticipating it will allow us to thwart it, end quote. Why July and August, I wonder? Tony Blair stepping down the end of June. Gordon Brown stepping in his first 100 days of office. They anticipate he's going to be making an announcement about a troop pullout, British troops being pulled out. So 100 days, about 3 months. Certainly within that time frame, Al-Qaeda will start kicking booty. They'll start killing lots of Iraqis and lots of U.S. soldiers. And that comes from who? The Defense Secretary and George W. Bush. And again, why July and August? Do we have a presidential election coming up this year? No. Do we have a presidential election coming up ever in July and August? No. What happens in July and August? Well, obviously there's more people using power, electricity, you know, usage, maybe some rolling blackouts this year. Certainly it's hurricane season. Certainly the price of gas is going to be going up, and this time they can blame it on what? And blame it on insurgency. Oh, the tension in Iraq, the instability in Iraq, and this and this and this. And, of course, another thing could be factored in here, Iran. And we'll get to that if we have time tonight. If not, we'll do it tomorrow. Amazing stuff. So anyway, it says the predictions of more bloodshed came at a time when America's assessment of the war has never been worse, according to a CBS News New York Times poll that said 76% of Americans believe the war is going somewhat or very badly for the United States. Only 20% said the recent troop increase is making a positive difference, and just 23% approved Bush's handling of the war. His overall job approval is at 30%. In a hard-won victory for Bush, Congress is expected this week to approve the $120 billion he wants to fund the war just as combat money was running out. The total cost of the war since 2001 exceeds, guess what? $500 billion. Trillion with a T. Many Democrats were outraged that they're being asked to back an Iraq war funding bill without forcing Bush to show his strategy is working or face having to withdraw troops. Congressional leaders urged lawmakers to set aside their anger and support the troops by voting for the funding bill, and they did. So the troop funding bill. Now, again, Al-Qaeda is going to get worse. July and August, Tony Blair stepping down. Gordon Brown might be pulling out the troops. Al-Qaeda's on the offensive. They're ramping up attacks. They're threatening America. They're threatening the UK, they're threatening Germany, they're threatening everybody. Bush says it's not working, but, you know, well, he didn't say it's not working. He basically said, okay, well, they're going to try to make it look like it's not working. Why? Why does the public opinion need to be, you know, why do we have to be prepared for July and August? There's nothing of significance, really, except maybe another war. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back in three.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right, so we've been talking about Iraq, sort of what's going on, and a lot of things, certainly. Here's one that you maybe haven't seen. It's sourced from National Public Radio. I found it at rawstory.com, and it came out on the 21st. It says the Department of Defense is studying the possibility of, quote, maintaining a core group of forces in Iraq possibly for decades, end quote, according to National Public Radio. A core group of forces in Iraq possibly for decades. All right, said General Peter Pace, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to the Senate, when asked if the Pentagon had any contingency plans in place for Iraq troop withdrawal, and he said, quote, "We have published no orders directing the planning for the overall withdrawal of forces," end quote. NPR reports that the Defense Department is disclosing different scenarios for Iraq. One scenario includes a, quote, series of military installations that could be maintained around Iraq with a total of 30,000 to 40,000 U.S. troops for a long period of time, maybe a few decades, end quote. Under that plan, U.S. forces would not be on patrol in Iraq as they are now, says NPR, but they could continue to train Iraqi forces. Now, that ties in with the Iraq study group and the big plan that was proposed initially. And you may remember the Baker-Hamilton Commission, as they were called. And this thing basically said, hey, look, up to 100,000 troops could be deployed to Iraq for an immediate fix of the problem. And again, we already have a substantial amount there already, in addition to a lot of other things, which we'll talk about. But, you know, the idea that this would solve the problem, I knew it was BS. But, you know, again, they had go long, leave home, or whatever. They had their three little things, which was basically short-term, huge troop surge. Okay, was one idea. And then another thing was to take all the troops out. And the other solution was to maintain a small amount there for a very, very long time and focus on training the Iraqi military and so on and so forth. Well, they obviously chose an amalgamation of those theories. The whole troops coming back home, not happening. And even the Democrats just say, we want our troops out of Iraq. They don't necessarily say, but let's bring them home. They just want the troops out of Iraq. Well, they will be. They'll be in Iran soon enough. But it's very, very interesting because then this, obviously, these giant bases and whatnot, which will maintain 40,000 U.S. troops, could be there for decades and decades and decades and decades. Now, obviously, Iran doesn't like that idea at all. And they're going to have some problems with that. But nevertheless, that's even immaterial, honestly. This doesn't matter compared to all the other stuff we're talking about, which we'll get to. But the story concludes with the Iraq installations will be part of the so-called lily pad strategy that the U.S. military has been developing since 2004. General Pace, along with former Undersecretary for Policy at the Pentagon, Douglas Feith, and former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, was an architect of that strategy. Bases in Iraq would be used to protect U.S. interests in the area and keep Iran and Syria from interfering with Iraq's fledgling democracy, according to NPR. All right, so that's out of the way. Big, big, big bases for long periods of time. No big surprise, right? This one maybe you saw, maybe you did not. It's from the San Francisco Chronicle, and it came out on the 22nd. Here's what it says. The Bush administration is quietly on track to nearly double the number of combat troops in Iraq this year, said an analysis of Pentagon deployment orders Monday. The little-noticed second surge designed to reinforce U.S. troops in Iraq is being executed by sending more combat brigades and extending tours of duty for troops already there. Now, again, they're saying, hey, look, this is happening. Well, they said it was going to happen, and I said it was going to happen. When it was suggested that we increase up to 100,000 more troops in Iraq, I knew right then and there it was going to happen. The very fact that this is called, it went from the Iraq Study Group to the Baker-Hamilton Commission, meant that these people who were involved with this were high-profile enough that they could get up there and speak, and it would be televised, and that is exactly what they suggested, up to 100,000. And he said, why not more? Because we don't have any more. Get ready for a draft. That's going to happen too. But let's continue with this story. The actions could boost the number of combat soldiers from 52,500 in early January to as many as 98,000 by the end of this year if the Pentagon overlaps arriving and departing combat brigades. Separately, when additional troop supports, when additional support troops are included in the second troop increase, the total number of U.S. troops in Iraq could increase from where it is now, at 162,000, to more than 200,000 troops, a record high number by the end of this year. Now, let me stop right here for a second. When we went into Iraq, now a lot of people say we haven't won and all that stuff. That's true, but we more or less had the whole thing under control for a period of time. I mean, it's the whole reconstruction and occupation, all that stuff. It's not working out well. But our boys and girls basically went over there, and they had it done in, what, 3 weeks, was it? 3 weeks, 4 weeks, something like that, 6 weeks. I don't know. It was pretty quick, honestly. And they did that with about 130,000 troops. There's 162,000 now. There'll be more than 200,000 by the end of this year, and anywhere from 90,000 or more security contractors are now working there. Private security firms, basically ex-military, ex-special forces, ex-intelligence operatives, all working for private security contractors. They are over there, not subject to laws and regulations, international codes of conduct for military forces, because they're not working for a government. They're working for private firms, which means they can use experimental weapons, they can use experimental ammunition, and so on and so forth. So we're talking about, on average, 300,000 troops in Iraq when it took 130 to take the whole country, 300,000 troops in Iraq for insurgents, for terrorists. Unlikely. Unlikely. And Bush said what? We're going to have a bloody summer. A lot of U.S. troops are going to die. A lot of Iraqi civilians are going to die. Get ready for that. Well, it's a perfect reason to, again, say the same thing. Remember, when the study group, the nonpartisan Baker-Hamilton Commission, came out and suggested more troops, all the Democrats started saying what? That's what we said the whole time. There weren't enough troops. Remember Rumsfeld? You go to war with the army you have, not the army you want. And get out of here. Get off my lawn, kids. So Rumsfeld said that, and everybody chastised him. And then, of course, the Baker-Hamilton report comes out, and everybody says, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we said more troops. John Kerry, most notably, said, I've been saying this since the campaign trail that we need more troops in Iraq. And guess what? He's right. He did say that. He said that in the debates with Bush. Now, maybe you saw the presidential debates. Maybe you're just anathema to those whole things. You hate the politicians. You hate the pandering. Let me tell you something. That was the greatest comedy I've ever seen. Absolutely phenomenal comedy when Bush and Kerry were having their debates. Just laughed and laughed and laughed. I enjoyed every second of it. The wife and I sat down, popped some popcorn, and it was better than any movie we could have found because it was just pure comedy. In fact, it was so darn funny that Saturday Night Live, every Saturday, would parody whatever debate happened earlier that week. And when they did the parody, they did it almost verbatim. It was almost exactly the same. They didn't change anything. They didn't add a whole lot of jokes because everything these guys said was hilarious. And one of the things that I remember was Bush saying, well, I'd increase troops by 20,000. And Kerry would say, well, yeah, I see your 20,000. I raise you 10,000 to 30,000. And I'm obviously paraphrasing and not quoting by any means, but it was, that's what it was about. And that's why I said there's no difference between these guys. And just like, you know, we already knew that, no difference between Democrats and Republicans at the upper echelon of the political pyramid. But again, they're both saying the same thing. Well, I'd put more troops there than you would. Well, I'd do this more than you would. Well, so what? Well, you know, but they're both honestly on the same page and the same agenda. So the Democrats were saying, oh, yeah, yeah, troop increase, about time, as if they've been saying it the whole time, which some of them were. But the point is that now, if we do have a bloody summer, people might say, well, yeah, we need to do this and this and this, and you might see more talk about a draft. But again, invaded Iraq, okay, basically took over the whole damn country with 130,000 people in a month. And they've got 300,000 going to be there by the end of this year. Who knows, maybe more. That's an invasion-level force on par with nothing that we've seen since probably World War II. It's amazing. 200,000 plus active duty reserve and National Guard and the security contractors as well take it up to about 300,000. That's amazing stuff, folks. And that obviously is they're looking at a whole nother country. It's the only explanation for it. If you've got this smart, agile, thinking enemy with the Al-Qaeda in Iraq and the insurgents in Iraq, whatever you want to call them, and they're very good at blowing things up and causing problems and whatnot, why would you put more troops there, right? Just doesn't make any sense. Anyway, back to the story. The numbers were arrived at by an analysis of deployment orders by Hearst Newspapers. Said retired Army Major General William Nash, a former U.S. commander of NATO troops in Bosnia, referring to the Bush administration, he said, quote, it doesn't surprise me that they're not talking about it. I think they would be very happy not to have any more attention paid to this, end quote. The first surge was prominently announced by President Bush in a nationally televised address on January 10th when he ordered five more combat brigades to join the 15 brigades already in Iraq. The buildup was designed to give commanders the 20 combat brigades, Pentagon planners said, were needed to provide security in Baghdad and western Anbar province. Since then, the Pentagon has extended combat tours for units in Iraq from 12 months to 15 months and announced the deployment of additional brigades. Taken together, the steps could put elements of as many as 28 combat brigades in Iraq by Christmas. Army spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Carl E. It's E. Y. is his last name. E. said that there was no effort by the Army to carry out, quote, a secret surge, end quote, beyond the 20 combat brigades ordered by Defense Secretary Robert Gates, except that they're doing it. E. attributed the increase in troops to, quote, temporary increases that typically occur during the crossover period, end quote, as arriving combat brigades move into position to replace departing combat brigades. The U.S. Joint Forces Command, based in Norfolk, Virginia, that tracks combat forces heading to and returning from Iraq, declined to discuss unit-by-unit deployments, according to their spokesperson, Navy Lieutenant Jareel Dorsey, quote, due to operational security, we cannot confirm or discuss military unit movements or schedules, end quote. The Pentagon has repeatedly extended unit tours in Iraq during the last 4 years to achieve temporary increases in combat power. For example, three combat brigades were extended up to 3 months in November of 2004 to boost the number of U.S. troops from 138,000 to 150,000 before, during, and after the January 30th, 2005 Iraqi national elections. So, again, just temporary increases that never decrease lead to a record number of troops. Seems common sense to me. Now, this is going on, too. This came out May 23rd. You can find this at the Associated Press. Here's what it says. The U.S. Navy staged its largest show of military force off the Iranian coastline on Wednesday, sending two aircraft carriers and landing ships packed with 17,000 U.S. Marines and sailors to carry out unannounced exercises in the Persian Gulf. 17,000 more. Now, they're not in Iraq. They're just in the Gulf. They don't count. That's 17,000. Add that to your total. The carrier strike group led by the USS John C. Stennis and the USS Nimitz were joined by the amphibious assault ship, the USS Bonham Richard, and its own strike group, which includes landing ships carrying members of the 13th Marine Expeditionary Unit. The Navy said nine U.S. warships passed through the narrow Strait of Hormuz on Wednesday. Merchant ships passing through the busy strait carry two-fifths of the world's oil exports. Aircraft aboard the two carriers and the Bonham Richard were to conduct air training while the ships ran submarine, mine, and other exercises. The maneuvers came just 2 months after a previous exercise in March when two U.S. carrier groups carried out 2 days of air and sea maneuvers off the Iranian coast. So again, they've done this before, but they're doing it very quickly, and there's three strike groups now. Okay? It says U.S. warships have frequently collided with merchant ships in the busy shipping lanes of the Gulf. Now, I find that to be extremely interesting because you may recall a few months ago we were talking about this. And all of these top-level security guys and military analysts, speaking, of course, on condition of anonymity, were all saying this, I really fear for what's going on in the Gulf right now. Well, why do you say that, sir? Well, because everybody's so tense right now and all these things are going on, it's very possible an accident could happen that could really set this thing into all-out warfare. So, tension levels high. Straits of Hormuz, two-fifths of the world's oil pass through these straits. Very narrow. The U.S. frequently bumps into other ships, merchant ships, which presumably are the ones carrying the two-fifths of oil exports. And levels are high, man. Anything could happen. Everybody's tense. Everybody's waiting. What if an accident were to happen? Well, gosh, that would be tragic, wouldn't it? Let's increase the opportunity for that accident to happen, right? What's the sense in that? Now, keep in mind, we also, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the patent that the U.S. Navy had filed, which means, of course, that they already have it. But it was just a patent process for an acoustic weapon that could be used underwater to destroy mines, could destroy incoming torpedoes, and could presumably rip a hole in the hull of a ship. And I said, watch for that. So if a ship accidentally goes down, either because it's been bumped or because nobody knows what's going on and shots start to be fired, watch for this war to break out, which is what they want. Now, we talked about this one. May 22nd, ABCNews.com. The CIA has received secret presidential approval to mount a covert black op to destabilize the Iranian government. Current and former officials in the intelligence community tell the blotter on ABCNews.com. The sources who spoke on the condition of anonymity because of the sensitive nature of the subject say President Bush has signed a, quote, non-lethal presidential finding that puts into motion a CIA plan that reportedly includes a coordinated campaign of propaganda, disinformation, and manipulation of Iran's currency and international financial transactions. said Bruce Rydell, a recently retired CIA official who dealt with Iran and other countries in the region, saying, quote, I cannot confirm or deny whether such a program exists or whether the president signed it, but it would be consistent with an overall American approach of trying to find ways to put pressure on the regime, end quote. A National Security Council spokesperson, Gordon Jandro, said, quote, the White House does not comment on intelligence matters, end quote. CIA spokesperson said, quote, as a matter of course, we do not comment on allegations of covert activity, end quote. Current and former officials say the approval of the covert action means that the Bush administration, for the time being, has decided not to pursue a military option against Iran. What? The fact that they're destabilizing Iran from within, that they're doing disinformation, that they're doing manipulation of their currency, manipulation of their international financial transactions, the fact that they're doing propaganda, that sounds like they don't want to have a war. Again, former CIA official Rydell, former, I'm sure, he said, quote, Vice President Cheney helped to lead the side favoring a military strike, but I think they've come to the conclusion that a military strike has more downsides than upsides, end quote. So Cheney's daughter heads up the whole Iran destabilization from within project. And Cheney, of course, he said, oh, gosh, President Bush, you won. I submit. We won't do a military strike against Iran. We'll just keep poking them until they respond. Stay with us, folks. Back in three.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
We'll be right back. talk of freedom. You talk of flag. I talk of revolution. You'd much rather brag.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. The fastest 4 hours in talk radio. And, gosh, you know, we could honestly do about 5 more hours just on this stuff. And I may do just an open lines and news tomorrow. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But certainly, folks, when you look at all this stuff, this secret covert action, you've got the military exercises taking place. You've got the troop surge well in place. Bush saying prepare for this. Tony Blair stepping down. His replacement stepping up, maybe wanting to do a troop recall. Poll numbers for Bush and honestly all members of Congress, all at their worst. More increasing in funding. Certainly we've talked about the all the other different things and the idea of preemptive war and the idea that, you know, it's not popular and if we could just goad somebody, then it's a war. Bush already has the continuity plan for basically controlling everything outside of the realm of Congress. Why is nobody putting the stop to all this stuff? Why is nothing happening? Well, because it's all part of the plan. Now, you could say, well, it's an evil plan, and it's the plan of these politicians, and we got to do something to stop them. It's also part of God's plan. Don't think for one second that a politician or a government or a military or an army or an individual is going to throw off God, that they're going to surprise him, they're going to throw a monkey wrench in the works and screw everything up for everybody. It's not how it works. God is not going to be surprised. He knows quite well what's going on. Put your faith in him, and it's all going to work out. Be aware of the truth. Immerse yourself in it and be able to pick it apart and do so with an insight and a clarity and a discernment and a joy in your heart, because it's going to be fine. It really, truly is. I know the stuff is overwhelming. I know the stuff is depressing. I know the stuff is infuriating. I know you're angry. We're all angry by this. But be angry and then let it go. Let it go and have some faith. You know, we've talked about it many, many times. This is a vital component to sanity. It is a vital component to having firm spiritual foundation, folks, is having some faith and believing that these things are going to be okay. And that's why I don't worry about stuff. I don't. I take a beating on a regular basis. We all do. Spiritual warfare, folks. Our enemies are not flesh and blood. Powers and principalities. That's what we're fighting against. And these things are a mess. So when you look at the whole thing and what's going on, be aware of what's happening in the world. Be aware of how it applies to you, how it applies to the people you care about and the country you love. And then put it in God's hands. We do everything we can. We can prepare in every possible conceivable way, and we will continue to do this show. We'll continue to analyze these things and pick them apart. We'll continue to expose what's going on. We'll continue to be there and to interact with you guys for as long as we're able to do so. But at the same time, you know, when you look at the whole thing and you look at the world system and you look at how it all breaks down, it's just a mess. It's a mess that again, it has to be spiritual warfare manifesting in these things, these different types of legislation, these ideas, these proposals, these plans. Okay? That's just how it all works out. So at some point, and we've all been in that situation where you just, you know, you get slapped around so much, and first you're angry, and then you just feel defeated, and then at some point you're just like, yeah, who cares? Let it go. You know, if for your own sanity's sake, and that's why you got to put your faith in something. And don't put your faith in the Democrats or the Republicans or individual politicians or elections or you know, whatnot. I do think the American people are an amazing group of people who, for the most part, are happy to sleep through life and just miss it all. But when the time is right, folks, the American people will be there. They won't let you down. They won't let me down. And we won't let each other down. But again, at the same time, first and foremost, it is a spiritual preparation for a spiritual battle of which God has already won. So take that. Take some comfort in that. And